My name is Cliff. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi. I'm grateful to be here because in truth, I should be dead. I came into this program, I guess about a little over 11 years ago, April 1st, 2007, which was April Fool's Day, which was a perfectly appropriate time. I didn't expect to be here. God tricked me into coming into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. I was supposed to give a presentation at a speaking club, and our topic was National Alcohol Awareness Day. That brought me to AA. That reminded me of having gone to OA 35 years before. It didn't take it that time. I went out and I got the questions that I needed, and I thought I thought to myself, well, you know, I can try. I can see what they're doing at OA now, and so. I went and looked, and I didn't look for a meeting that would be convenient. I looked not for one that would be convenient to most people. I looked for one where there wouldn't be one, so I could say, hey, I went and tried. And I plugged in a filter of basically I wanted it on a Sunday, and then I wanted it on a Sunday night. Surely nobody would have a meeting on a Sunday night. As it turned out, there was one meeting. It was on a Sunday night in Dallas, Texas. And it was held at a Jewish congregation. I happened to be Jewish. The first time I had gone, it was actually at a Catholic church in the basement, and it felt awkward to me at that point in time. So I went to this particular meeting, and I hated the meeting. It was not only in person, but it was also on the phone. And if I had known it was on the phone, I would have just called in and I would have listened about a few minutes and then hung up because I didn't like it. But as it turns out, there was a woman there who said that she had lost 130 pounds in a year without exercising. And for the 7 years preceding the program, I had been doing long-distance athletic events weighing 385 pounds. I did marathons, I did triathlons in Hawaii, I did a 100-mile bicycle ride in Arizona, but I knew better than to try to run. I always walked, I swam, and I biked so that I didn't put pressure on the joints. So I went there. I tried to run away, but because it was also on the phone, I stupidly left my phone number, and before I even got out of the driveway, somebody had called me, and I was such a people pleaser, I couldn't get off the phone, and he kept telling me, well, you know, he said, oh, you don't need to do those things, those guys are food Nazis, and it happened to be what was called OA90, and for those who are unfamiliar with it, it's a very structured program. I don't have flour, sugar, sweeteners, or caffeine. I have three meals a day and nothing in between, and I weigh and measure my food, and I have a life in between. I still didn't think that was going to be for me. That guy kept on talking. I was driving to the local grocery store, or one of the local grocery stores. It was one of the sites of what I didn't know was called binging. Because I was going to go out and I was going to buy the groceries. I knew which ones I could eat in the store and still pay for them. I knew which ones I could eat on the way home. I knew which ones would not melt before my wife went to bed. And I knew which ones would be there in the morning when I woke up. And for some reason, as I'm sitting in the parking lot at the grocery store, I heard something that said, you can do this. And I don't know why. I don't know why, but I figured that I had done these before. I had done no flour, no sugar, no sweeteners, and no caffeine. Never had done them all at one time. And I'd even weighed and measured, but I didn't really know about that for a couple of weeks. So I went in, I bought abstinent foods, and I went home, again, thinking I was going to go on a diet. And I found myself one night with my head in a bowl of organic fruit in the refrigerator, and I couldn't get my head out of it. And I thought, oh my God, there may be something to this compulsive overeating. I had signed up for a friend of mine a friend of mine had told me that she had had bariatric surgery, and she said it was the best thing that she'd ever done. And she said, Cliff, you really ought to think about it. And I had thought to myself, you know, I know why you did it. You're fat. I'm not. I weighed 385 pounds and was doing triathlons. I am not fat. But I went ahead and signed up. She gave me a phone number. I signed up for the orientation. And it just so happened that the orientation was, it was like 6 or 8 weeks in advance you had to sign up. I went to OA for about 2 weeks, and somebody on that Sunday night, they said, have you found a sponsor? And I thought to myself, hell no, I haven't found a sponsor. I'm not looking for something that works. I'm looking for something that fails. You know, because that's everything else had failed. I had done everything I possibly could. And she scribbled the name of somebody on a piece of paper. I shoved it in my pocket. The next day was the bariatric surgery orientation. This wonderful doctor, very well intentioned, you know, he's up there in his white coat, young, thin, you know, is basically telling us no flour, no sugar, no sweeteners, no caffeine, but in different words, because he said the flour gums up the opening, the sugar causes something called the dumping syndrome, and that it, for my source of caffeine and sweeteners was primarily diet drinks. And because of the surgery, it would take you 2 hours to drink one diet drink. And I said, well, that sounds pretty reasonable to me. I mean, so what are you going to do, Cliff? Are you going to pay $40,000 that you don't have, or $60,000, or pay $2 a meeting? I may be dumb, but I wasn't stupid. And then they got up there talking about different insurance companies, and he said, oh, they don't pay for it, nobody pays for it, which is why we have the lap band surgery. And God bless you, if you've had any of these things, if I could have afforded them, I would have had them. There is no doubt in my mind. But as it turns out, he says, we have the lap band surgery so that we can finance it just like you buy a used car. I said, oh my God, I'm buying surgery from a used car salesman in a white coat. And God bless him. I mean, you know, so anyway, I went back. I called that guy. This woman had given me his phone number. He said, you know, she had told me he was busy. He said, I'm busy, but I'll help you get started if you come to this other meeting. And I went to that other meeting, and for 8.5 years, he was my sponsor. I lost 190 pounds, and that was without surgery, without pills. And even though you see these pictures of me exercising and doing the triathlons, I quit exercising. I had to in order to prepare all the food that I needed, you know. It was, you know, but that's the crazy part about it, is I had to pay attention and give priority to what it was that I needed, that God wanted me to nourish my body with. And I went through this program and continue with this program. When I was growing up, I was always heavy. I was always fat. I was always in husky. I was always, changing sizes. I remember when, clothes would split and I could feel the flab between the openings. I remember chafing legs. I remember the embarrassment at the president's national, fitness type of things, where you had to do the broad jump, and I have no idea. I can't even remember how short my broad jump was, or the president, the 440-yard dash, or things like that. And I just, it was crazy, somehow I made it through high school, through elementary school, what have you, and made it into college, where I actually grew. I was 5'10 when I graduated high school, and I was 6'3 by the time I got, my freshman year in college. Well, you would have thought that would have been a real help, but no, because they thought I was on the football team while I was in the dorm, and so they let me eat as much as I wanted. And I went through those lines and I got everything that I wanted and just continued to gain weight, never feeling comfortable in my own skin. And like I said, you know, I did get married. I don't know why my wife stayed married to me, but actually today is our 38th anniversary. You know, after coming into program, I was in program about, 4 or 5 months. I had lost about 90 pounds I was in about 4 or 5 months. I'd lost about 40 some odd pounds. And I remembered having had a dream a few months before coming into program. And my dream was I was lying in my grave and I was looking up and I was watching my two daughters crying over their father being buried at an early age. And I thought, you know, and there was nothing I could do about it. And now my waking vision was that my daughters would no longer see their father be buried at an early age, but that I would get to see them get married. And neither one of them was engaged. One was dating somebody, but I have since walked both daughters down the aisle. Actually, due to the internet officiant status, officiated at one of my daughter's weddings. And I now have three grandsons, 6, 4, and one will turn 3 next week. And, and I can get down on the ground and I can crawl on all fours and I can get up on my own. And I'm 65 and I feel better today than I did when I was 30. Which is, that's wonderful. I mean, I guess as I get older, I will have the aches and pains and there are some of those, but still in comparison to all the things that I did when I was young, it's nothing. This program has just been such a joy for me. I mean, it's not always easy. I mean, I'm here, it's Thanksgiving, and of course everybody has these wonderful spreads on the table, but I pack my own food just in case. If they happen to have something that I can have, I'll weigh and measure it or I'll estimate it. I even had something that came up yesterday, and I called my sponsor and told him what was going on, and he said, "Well, Cliff," he says, "you're not binging, you're not trying to, look for the hit or anything like that. So, go ahead, do what you got to do," and I'm just appreciative of that because I don't want to take back my self-will. And God has given me so many, many, many things. The least of which is having lost 190 pounds. He's given me, relationships with my wife, relationships with my children, my grandkids. He's given me relationships with him and even with myself. I didn't know who I was. There's a passage in any many religious areas, and it talks about God will remove your heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh and put his spirit in you. And that's exactly what he did. And, God was my surgeon. He was my heart transplant surgeon. And the fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous is my heart transplant team, because every one of you has helped me become a better person, become a better father, just become a better human being. How are we doing on time? 2:45.
We have another meeting after that.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Let me give you, a quick story, I think, about how God has come into my life for different ways. My brother needed a kidney transplant and I couldn't donate. And, I tried 4 times. I still don't know whether I would have, you don't know until you can attempt. And as it turns out, we had been doing research and he had been turned down and the laws had changed. And he was very upset, very depressed because the law is changing, put him at the end of the line. He was on dialysis 7 days a week for 9 hours a day. And what happened was my sister put on the back of her car, my brother needs a kidney, and put her phone number on it. And they were driving from Houston to San Antonio to check out a different hospital. A woman saw the sign at the gas station. She said, "I'd like to help." And she was a perfect match. And he got a live kidney donation from a 21-year-old girl. And I told him he got the kidney of Secretariat. And, you know, and again, you know, this would never have happened. I should be dead. By all rights, I should be dead. I weighed 385 pounds and I should not have been doing triathlons. I had done all the other things. I should have had a heart attack. Oh, and by the way, I have atrial fibrillation and I've had it for decades. But the interesting thing is they tell you that you're not supposed to eat greens, you know, because it causes the blood to coagulate. And I went to my cardiologist. My cardiologist, I said, "Well, look, if you know exactly how much greens you're going to have, can you increase the amount of rat poison that I can have, that's Coumadin, and adjust it for that?" And he said, "Well, nobody ever asked us that question." And I said, "Well, okay." He said, "Yeah, we can do that." And so I did that. I mean, it's only God asking these questions. I'm not the one who's asking them, you know. And I did that, lost 190 pounds, got off of all this, all the medications with, you know, for blood pressure, for blood thinning, for everything. And now I go into my cardiologist. I used to see him once a month, and now I see him once a year. And in 1 year, I even forgot and didn't go. And he comes in, and I've never seen any doctor come in laughing. Thank you. Laughing, and we hug, and you know, it's just amazing. Leave you with one last thing. You know, when I walked into the OA rooms, I like the visualization of when you see a candle, and that candle, you blow the candle out, and you see that wisp of smoke go up, and then you look back at the wick. And and there's that little orange ember on the end of the wick just waiting to fade. And well, that was me. That was me in OA, because I was that orange ember. And it was only in this program, through God and the people in OA gently blowing on that wick, that I came back to full flame. And if it can happen for me, I know it can happen for you. One day at a time. One day at a time. So thank you very much. Appreciate it. And God bless us all. That's okay. Okay. Thank you, Arlene.